Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And once again, Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft by Francis J. Beckwith is a timely and very important resource to not only get, but to read, to reflect upon, perhaps to give to others within your sphere of influence. I was thinking today that when questioning Judge Amy Coney Barrett in her 2017 confirmation hearings for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, Senator Dianne Feinstein said something that is very, very memorable. It's a phrase that stuck with me ever since. She said, "The dogma lives loudly within you." Again, she's talking about the dogma living loudly within the heart and mind of Amy Coney Barrett. But in point of fact, the dogma lives loudly within Senator Dianne Feinstein as well. Indeed, dogma lives loudly within the hearts of every citizen, whether they're committed to Antifa or, as with Judge Amy Coney Barrett, committed to a movement known as People of Praise. I was reading about that movement in the newspaper this morning. And just as Jewish dogma lived loudly in the heart of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who famously had posted outside her office these words, "Justice, justice shall you pursue." Does that ring a bell? Justice, justice you shall pursue? That's a phrase taken directly from the book of Deuteronomy. Well, just as she had that posted outside of her office, so too Roman Catholic dogma lives loudly within the heart of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. This, in fact, is why Judge Barrett is involved with a group that puts a high premium on the proper education of children. As a mother of seven, this should not come as a surprise to anyone. It's also why she supports those members of People of Praise who move into impoverished neighborhoods. They move there in order to lift up and empower the downtrodden. That's why she's part of a movement committed to helping neighborhoods repair dilapidated houses, initiate community beautification projects, and even start up urban farms, the fresh produce from which go to residents with little access to fresh foods. While the People of Praise movement is derided by people of prejudice, those participating strive mightily to promote the common good while working toward understanding those with radically different perspectives. Now, I don't fully embrace every tenet of the People of Praise movement, but I'm deeply grateful for Christians committed to bringing civility and unity to our country during a time in which public discourse has become jaded, riotously combative. Judge Barrett is a breath of fresh air in a contemporary culture in which theologically informed beliefs are no longer considered legitimate in public discourse. Unfortunately, Senator Dianne Feinstein, along with her allies, do not consider beliefs informed by theology as belonging to a knowledge tradition, and thus they feel justified in dismissing theologically informed judicial decisions as de facto inferior to those decisions that are presumed to be solely secular. I can assure you, however, that Feinstein cannot articulate a rational argument for this apartheid of knowledge. Indeed, her dogmatic pontifications serve to relieve her of the duty to rationally assess her own worldview as well as to rationally assess the worldview of others. In fact, that's really at the base of Feinstein's hatred and animus towards people like Judge Barrett, who believes in life when they do not. Contra Feinstein, the protection of the unborn is a dogma that does in fact live loudly within the heart of Judge Barrett. And this is precisely because it stands in concert with natural law. And as every thinking person well knows, the denial of natural law is tantamount to striking a mortal blow to the foundations of a free society. Former Vice President Joe Biden, now running for President of the United States, was right to invoke the preamble to the Declaration of Independence in one of his stump speeches. As he put it, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, all men and women created." And they went on to say, you know the thing. And indeed we do. No doubt everyone in his audience that day could finish the preamble and did so in their own minds. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." What is particularly poignant in this regard is the Declaration's emphasis on life, an emphasis shared by Judge Barrett, an emphasis shared by all who have a common sense understanding about the nature of human beings, an understanding of the sacredness of all who are created in the image and likeness of God, whether they're 100 years old, 1 year old, or only 1 month in gestation. As I've said many times right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it's an inviolable truth, inviolate truth, that abortion kills innocent human beings. As Judge Amy Coney Barrett knows full well, the child who is terminated prior to birth is the product of human parents and has a totally distinct human genetic code. Although the emerging embryo does not have a fully developed personality, he or she does have complete personhood from the moment of conception. Thus far from deserving capital punishment, these innocent human beings created as icons of God deserve care and protection. All human beings possess a nature that is moral in quality. And that sacred truth requires those in government, whether a president, a legislator, or a Supreme Court justice, to treat all of humanity with dignity and respect, to recognize that natural rights clearly imply a natural moral law, a law that rightly lives loudly within the heart of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. or to read more about this and to be informed on politics, Politics for Christians, get the book, Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft. Not only an appropriate title at this time, but also an appropriate subtitle, which I cashed out on yesterday's broadcast. This book by Francis Beckwith, available to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And I am so grateful for all of you. I don't express my gratitude nearly enough, but I'm grateful for all of you who support this ministry, make our outreaches 24/7 available to people around the globe. Right after the break, we'll go to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
The role of Christians in politics is hotly contested. Many non-believers insist that people of faith set aside their beliefs before getting involved in politics. However, if Christians believe that Christianity is true, then any politics that does not take Christian truths into consideration will never be complete. As we approach one of the most important elections in our nation's history, Francis Beckwith's book, Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, is a must-read for all American Christians. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Thank you.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
The number to dial to get your question answered live, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go right to the phone lines. We'll talk first to Michael in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Michael.
Yes, Hank. In Acts chapter 3, where Peter speaks about Christ must be retained in heaven until the restoration of all things, of course, a post-millennial believer could take that to mean to support their position. But I think, would you not say it's fair to say that Christ being retained in heaven until the restoration of all things would pertain to that he would, when Christ returns, all things will be restored, as opposed to all things being restored before Christ returns, correct?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. When Christ appears a second time, which is the language of the Scriptures, he will put all things to right, which means the problem of sin and Satan will be fully resolved, and then we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And what happens to us goes hand in hand with what happens to the universe itself. It now groans in travail, but it will then be liberated from its bondage to decay.
Right. And one quick question, Hank. When you were in high school, were you always the smartest guy in the room, always, in high school, for example?
Well, no, absolutely not. I know a lot of people smarter than me, including my wife.
Okay, God bless, Hank. God bless.
Hey, thanks for your call. You know, I got to say this. You know, in a matter of weeks, we're going to have an election. And rarely have elections had consequences on a comparable scale of magnitude. And that's why we as Christians need to rise to the occasion as never before. Your ability to help shape our collective future is something that has been denied to most people who ever lived upon this planet, which is why as free citizens in a liberal democracy, our responsibilities are so very, very great, just as our opportunities. And yet, surprisingly, the role of Christians in politics is hotly contested today. Many Christians have succumbed to the dangerous dichotomy of a secular-sacred divide. And they naively think that involvement in the political process is worldly, well below the spiritual calling of those who are genuinely heavenly minded. And others are trapped in an end times mentality and think it simply doesn't matter. And as prisoners of a defective theology, they're thinking that it's all going to burn anyway, so why even bother? Since Jesus is returning soon, which of course is a dubious assertion at best, they're more focused on an envisioned rapture than on the rupture in our nation, a rupture that they're witnessing before their very eyes. And still others believe their vote really doesn't matter, although that's easily disproved historically. But illusions die hard, and ignorance and apathy these days are sadly epidemic. And compounding this problem is the increasing insistence by secularists that people of faith must set aside their beliefs before even entering the public square. That's what I was talking about with Judge Amy Coney Barrett. That's why, if we're to think and live Christianly, we need to think and act Christianly in the public square. It's why Frank Beckwith's book, Politics for Christians, is such a timely read for all American Christians. I urge you to get your copy at equip.org. Because in this book, Frank thoughtfully raises and responds to important questions, questions like, what role should religious citizens take in a liberal democracy? What's the proper separation of church and state? What place should be made for natural rights and moral law within a secular state? sadly, the answers from many Christians to these sorts of questions is, I don't know, or I'm not sure. Most would be hard-pressed to define natural rights and moral law, which reveals a knowledge deficit that makes our witness in the public sphere, well, problematic to say the least. And so Frank hits the proverbial nail on the head when he speaks to a misguided assumption that just because our beliefs are religious or biblical, that should be an argument stopper for secularists. As this one case in point, scholarly pro-choice advocates in the abortion debates claim that the notion that the fetus is a person from the moment of conception is the result of what they call speculative metaphysics or religious reasoning. In other words, irrational to the secular mind. And for that reason, these ideas warrant no serious consideration in public policy. Permit me to revisit the notion of securing our blessings. You might recognize the source. I alluded to it earlier in the broadcast, the preamble to our Constitution, to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. What have some of those blessings of liberty been? Well, they include our ability to freely worship as Christians, our ability to participate in the election process and to make our voices and our values heard, our ability to elect and remove public officials has kept our government accountable and has functioned as a critical safeguard against tyrants and despots. Our ability to actively contest the mindless, radical, nihilistic agendas that would surely prevail if the influence of people of faith becomes diluted or marginalized. With increasingly militant attacks and restrictions on our liberties as Christians, the penalties for ignorance and inaction in this arena will only grow more severe. That's why I'd like to send you again this resource. And you can get this resource for yourself. You can get it as a gift for a friend, for a loved one. The book again, Politics for Christians. It's an important book because we of all people ought to be informed. In our work together to equip fellow believers to think and to act Christianly, it's clearer than ever before that we cannot exempt the public sphere or political arena from our influence. And we dare not neglect the opportunities we have to shape the public sphere with the salt and light of our Christian witness. As the eminent English man of letters, Dr. Samuel Johnson, so insightfully said, we continue every day to show by new proofs that no people can be great who have ceased to be virtuous. Did you get that? We continue every day to show by new proofs that no people can be great who have ceased to be virtuous. The alarming images of rioting, looting, and rampant destruction from Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Minneapolis that we see on our TV screens are recurring reminders of the sobering reality of this important truth, and of the truth that vices advance in the public sphere only as virtues retreat. They also remind us that human flourishing is not possible when chaos reigns, and why those who fail to vote the virtues of our faith should embrace for themselves the alternatives, and in fact brace themselves, because those alternatives will become an unfortunate reality. So be involved. Politics for Christians, Statecraft is Soulcraft. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in all this week to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back on Monday with more of the show. Got some surprises for you.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The alarming images of rioting, looting, and rampant destruction from Portland, Seattle, Chicago, and Minneapolis on our TV screens are recurring reminders of the truth that vices advance in the public sphere only as virtues retreat. They also remind us that human flourishing is not possible when chaos reigns, and why those who fail to vote the virtues of our faith should brace themselves for the disastrous alternatives. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith will equip you to exercise your Christian influence by voting the virtues of your faith. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.